You're listening to the River East Church Podcast, a Jesus community for the world.
May the peace of Christ be with you. Well, this year, on May 29th, Paul and I had the privilege of being in Zurich, Switzerland, with about 3,500 other Mennonites, including lots of people from this congregation, John and Marianne Isaac, Joanne and Gerald Hildebrand, Cheryl Pauls, John David Pankratz, and Jan Schmidt, and was there anybody else that I missed? And I even ran into Anne Hansen, our former intern, and she greets you all very warmly. Well, the Mennonite World Conference organized this 500th anniversary commemoration of the beginning of the Anabaptist movement. So, just to catch us all up, in 1525, a group of people felt the conviction to be baptized as adults on their confession of faith, though they had been baptized as children in the Catholic Church. And these early Anabaptists were persecuted, chased down, and even executed for going against the teachings of the Catholic and Reformed churches. And they felt so strongly about their beliefs that they were willing to die for them. So on May 29th, many of us from around the world gathered to remember this beginning of the Anabaptist movement and celebrate the wideness of this community. And that's why I chose this sermon, because it felt like such a kind of a seminal moment in the Mennonite world and in what is going on in all of in the entire world at this point. So it was an incredible experience of music from around the globe, and we will enjoy one of the songs right after the sermon, and I hope you picked up one of those green sheets so that you can sing along. We might have to distribute those later. There were many readings, statements, prayers, and many of these had an emphasis on reconciliation with three prominent Christian traditions, the Reformed, Catholic, and Lutheran. Symbolizing reconciliation, Anabaptist and Reformed church leaders, Cesar Garcia and Setri Naomi, washed each other's feet. Another highlight was a statement from Pope Leo XIV, read by a local cardinal. He said, "In the context of our war-torn world, our ongoing journey of healing and deepening fraternity has a vital role to play. For the more united Christians are, the more effective will be our witness to Christ, the Prince of Peace, in building up a civilization of loving encounter." Cesar Garcia spoke to the gathered assembly on May 29th, referencing this story of Naaman and the enslaved girl from 2 Kings 5 that we just heard. And I think his words from Zurich are really timely for us as we conclude our summer of listening to the cloud of witnesses. It reminds us that we are part of God's story from the last 500 years, certainly, but also from long before that. From the beginning, God created a world that is good and wishes for reconciliation and restoration between all of God's creatures and people. We are part of God's story right now, each of us with our part to play as we live out God's dreams for the world. And we have hope that God's story of love and reconciliation will continue beyond us as well. So as we hear Cesar Garcia's words, I pray that we will find our place in God's story and have the courage to respond to whatever comes our way in the world with love. She was a young enslaved girl. We don't know her name, but we do know that she was a prisoner of war. We can only imagine the vulnerability, loss, and trauma she must have endured as a displaced person, an enslaved refugee in a foreign land. The story is told in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, a commander in the Aramean army, has just won a significant military victory over the people of Israel. As part of the spoils of war, he has seized a young girl, forcing her to serve as a servant to his wife. But now, Naaman, the one who enslaved her, is ill, and the young girl knows exactly what is needed to cure him. This is a moment of truth. Living among the people who shattered her dreams, severed her relationships, destroyed her family, and took away her possessions, freedom, and cultural identity, she faces a profound choice. How will she respond to those who threaten her well-being? Some 500 years ago, Ulrich Zwingli was faced with the same question. How should he respond to those threatening his and his city's well-being? The circumstances were very different. He was the leader of the Reformation in Zurich and pastor in this very church, the Grossmünster that we were gathered in. Early Anabaptists, such as Conrad Grebel, were disciples of Zwingli before their paths diverged regarding issues such as infant baptism, the pace of reform, and the authority of temporal power. In the spring of 1529, Catholic authorities were threatening to crush the Reformation in Zurich. Worried that his reforms were about to collapse and that the advances of the gospel would be stopped, a frustrated Zwingli wrote an urgent appeal to the city council, urging them to mobilize an army. In a letter to the council, Zwingli included a phrase that would later become a slogan of the Swiss Reformation. "For God's sake," wrote Zwingli, "do something courageous." For Zwingli, the focus was clear. Courage in the face of the enemies of the gospel meant mobilizing for war. What does courage look like when we face difficult choices? Well, that question is as relevant today as it was 500 years ago or in the 9th century before Christ. By all accounts, Naaman's servant girl should have remained silent. After all, she was young, she was a woman, she was an Israelite, and she was enslaved. She had no right to speak. Moreover, Naaman was a Gentile and an oppressor, reasons enough to be hated by the Israelites. And his skin disease made him even more impure from the perspective of Jewish law. Nothing gave the servant girl authority to speak, and yet she did. She found the courage to act in a way that transcended her identity as a victim. She found the courage to respond with compassion and even love. She said to Naaman, "There is a prophet in Samaria, the land of your enemies, who has the spiritual power to restore you to health." Courage is precisely what victims need to find their voice and resist the silence that others want to impose upon them. Yet courage, especially in response to our abusers or perpetrators or enemy, comes in many forms. For Zwingli, courage in the face of the gospel's enemies meant mobilizing for war. For some Christian, courage includes the expectation of punitive justice, demanding that perpetrators pay for their actions and suffer fair retribution for their violent crimes. For many political leaders, courage includes righteous retaliation against enemies. Some people demand justice in ways that close the door to the possibility of forgiveness and transformation for the oppressor, ensuring that the cycles of violence will only continue into the next generation. Jesus, however, offered a different model. He did not deny or ignore the terrible violence, oppression, and injustice of his day, but neither did he seek retribution or revenge. In Luke chapter 4, immediately after announcing his ministry in the synagogue by reading from Isaiah 61, Jesus mentions this story of Naaman and his miraculous healing. Though he doesn't name the young girl, we recognize in her actions something that goes to the very heart of the gospel. Jesus was never afraid to confront injustice. However, the justice he preached opens the door for the transformation of the oppressor. In the Gospels, justice is not retributive. It does not give the oppressors what they deserve, but rather what they need. Truth, love, compassion, the possibility of transformation, and forgiveness. In the story from 2 Kings, the young girl refuses to see the vulnerability of her oppressor as an opportunity for vengeance or retribution. Instead, her voice embodies hope and inclusivity for someone who has caused her incredible harm. She had the courage to love, offering her perpetrator what he could not obtain through his power: healing, freedom, and the possibility of a new beginning. She gave Naaman not what he deserved, but what he needed: the chance to be transformed. That is love beyond human comprehension. 500 years ago, a new movement in the church in Zurich and throughout other regions of Europe found courage in their relationship with Jesus, in his life and teachings, his death and resurrection, affirming that God's call to loving your enemies is not idealistic or naive. For them, the courage to love, made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit, was the only path to a new humanity. This movement came to be known as Anabaptism. That is the Christian tradition that we are commemorating here today. Unfortunately, Zwingli and other European church leaders of that era perceived the Anabaptist movement as a threat and responded with violence and persecution. For God's sake, do something courageous. Early in the morning of October 11th, 1531, Zwingli led a group of Zurich soldiers to a battlefield just outside the city to face the Catholic army threatening his vision of a reformed Zurich. Almost immediately, they were overwhelmed. As they attempted to retreat, Zwingli was killed, along with at least 500 other citizens of Zurich. Today, as we commemorate the memory of early Anabaptists, I invite us to ask ourselves, both as individuals and as churches, what does it mean to do something courageous for God's sake? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, can we find the courage to break cycles of violence? Can we directly confront our past, not to affirm and revisit our victimization, but as a way to heal our wounds and those of others and to mend fractured relationships? Can we become beacons of hope in a world where fragmentation and division seem to be advancing on every side? Can we envision our future pointing toward a new creation where compassion and love open the door to new beginnings? The courage to love, actively, imaginatively, and vulnerably, is more than a technique for conflict resolution. It is a deeply embedded spirituality, a remarkably original strategy. In a world where evil begets evil and violence generates more violence, love has the power to break those chains. Love has the potential to heal both the one who loves and the one who is loved. Christian friends, following in the footsteps of Jesus, let us together have the courage to love for God's sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the River East Church podcast, the Jesus community for the world. We are an Anabaptist church pursuing wisdom, prophecy, and compassion here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can find us online at rivereastchurch.ca. We hope you join us for next time, and until then, may grace and peace be with you.